The last 4 or 5 years, I've really started participating in DNA testing my heifers, trying to see what they're actually made up of, their strengths and weaknesses.
From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse. It's June 2025, and I'm Elijah Griles in Richmond, Virginia. On this episode, the squeeze of feeder cattle nationally is driving futures and Virginia's prices to incredible highs, and I spoke with cow-calf producer Adam Davis about his use of data to enhance his herd. To get started, let's take a look at our feeder cattle futures contract numbers. The August contract is trading at $308.65 a hundredweight, up 3.1% from a month ago. The September contract is at $307.50 a hundredweight, which is up 3.3% from a month ago. And the October contract is at $305.25 a hundredweight, up 3.3% from a month ago. We've seen incredible strength across both the cash and futures markets. And as you all well know, this is being fueled by that squeeze on our national inventory of cattle as well as feeder cattle. Let's take a look at our cattle on feed report from May, which gives us a good picture of how those low inventories are beginning to affect the amount of cattle that are available to be put on feed. There were 11.38 million cattle on feed on May 1st of 2025. Which is down 1.5% from last year. This continues the trend of lower feedlot inventories since November of 2024. Our April placements were at 1.61 million head, which is 2.6% lower than a year ago. Marketings were at 1.83 million head, which is 2.5% below a year ago. Now, all of these numbers are in line with expectations, and they support the supply picture that we expect with low inventories driving lower cattle on feed numbers, which I'm sure you all are seeing at Virginia's feeder cattle auctions, which have seen incredibly high prices, which we are going to address later in the show. Now, big news and good news is that we will have a July 1st cattle inventory report this year, as USDA National Ag Statistics Service has reinstated it. Another factor that will continue to fuel low cattle on feed numbers is the New World screwworm fly. You've probably heard of this before. The parasitic New World screwworm fly has yet again caused the ongoing ban of importing cattle, along with bison and horses from Mexico. And it was detected back in November of 2024 in cattle in Mexico, and imports were banned from then until late February by USDA. That ban was lifted until recently, when it was determined that the flies had broken through both the primary and secondary thresholds that had been established in southern Mexico. We won't get too much into the details, but basically, sterile male flies have been being released in Central and South America for the past 3 decades or so in order to prevent the spread of this parasitic fly northward. In the near term, this detection will continue to bolster feeder cattle prices nationally and in Virginia, but not without increasing concern about the flesh-eating pest returning to the U.S. Now, between 2015 and 2024, Mexican feeder cattle accounted for 5.2% of feedlot placements annually in the U.S. Now, the fly itself can hurt and even kill livestock, as its larvae live around open wounds that cattle may have and eats their living tissue. The USDA Economic Research Service did an impact analysis on an outbreak, and in Texas alone, the estimated cost would be $1.9 billion. Now, while the death of cattle would be the greatest expense, the care, treatment, labor, and veterinary costs to deal with infected cattle would add to this sum. It is unlikely that the fly would reach Virginia due to its need for warmer climates, but the animal health and food security impacts in the southern region of the United States would be very detrimental to the entire beef cattle industry. So, needless to say, the supply side of the picture is very strong for high prices. The limitations on feeder cattle and subsequent fed cattle supply have set the stage for auction prices to remain elevated. But this will only happen as long as demand keeps up its end of the bargain. While it can be hard to measure what demand for beef is, all indications are that as grilling season gets underway, consumers want to throw steaks on the grill. I know I do and have been throughout the beginning of this summer grilling season. And that's even if those cuts are going to be different than what they would normally buy. In May, USDA estimated that domestic beef consumption in 2025 will be 28.91 billion, yes, that's billion with a B, pounds, which is down just 0.5% from last year. Now, the price differential between choice grade, which is our second highest quality grade, and select grade, which is the third highest quality grade, is shrinking. Now, typically, when the difference between choice and select is greater than $10 to $15, it indicates strong demand because consumers are willing to pay for the more premium product. In May, although the choice select spread fell from $18.89 a hundredweight to $10.10 a hundredweight in the middle of the month, the cutout value, or value of a fabricated beef carcass, for select beef grew 5.6%. while the price for choice beef grew only 2.7%. This means that consumers are paying more for select beef, which is shrinking the spread between choice and select and could indicate that consumers are wanting to get their hands on whatever beef they can. I had the opportunity to visit with Adam Davis of Halifax County, who is a Virginia Farm Bureau young farmer and cow-calf producer there, and learn more about how he's using genetic data to improve his heifer selection program. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today, Adam. We're standing out here by your hay field. Looks like you're picking up some round bales. Tell me about where we are and your farming operation and how cattle play a part of that.
Elijah, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today. I farm full-time here in Halifax County, raise a decent amount of grain, corn, soybeans, and wheat, but also involved in a Black Angus cow-calf operation here. Run Black Angus mama cows on three farms here in Halifax County. Been blessed with record high prices this year and good rainfall. It's made a little bit of a challenge on the cropping side, but we got a good grass crop here now in pastures and hay fields, and finally pulling it out the field. So everything's clicking along.
As you mentioned, we have been blessed with a lot of good prices. We set a new record this month for our statewide average. For you, how has that affected your business, both on the side of, obviously, profitability is probably good, but does that make retention hard?
I think we got a little bit of a double-edged sword. Lowest cattle herd and long time in the United States, and also record prices. So whether you retain some heifers, breed them back, or get the good while the good's getting, you know? I think there's a lot of people that are looking at it that if they don't have to have the cattle right now as far as calves on the ground to put back in their herd, they're taking advantage of the pricing. And to be honest with you, I don't really blame them.
It's hard to turn down $350 a hundredweight or better. What does your marketing system kind of look like? Where do you sell your cattle?
I do a little bit of everything. I have participated in a lot of wean vaccinated sales. We would pull these calves off their mamas sometime in that mid-May and then wean them for 60 to 75 days and sell them in July or August. That's worked really well. Sometimes we'll also pull some calves off that go directly to an auction. The last 4 or 5 years, I've really started participating in DNA testing my heifers. Trying to see what they're actually made up of, their strengths and weaknesses. And by doing so, I've been able to retain and sell some really good bred heifers that perform well here in Southside. You know, where I live at here compared to someone in the valley, it's a lot of difference. We're hot and dry and sometimes like the Bermuda Triangle, but we've been blessed this year. And I would just tell people that, you know, everybody's got an operation and what works for them might not work for someone else. So explore your options and take advantage of the record-setting pricing that we have.
Now, you mentioned the DNA testing. Are these purebred Black Angus that you're getting EPDs for, or are you just trying to see kind of what type of crosses they are?
I have some purebred Angus cattle, but we also have a lot of commercial cattle. You pull basically it's a handheld clipper. It punches a little piece of their ear the size of a pencil eraser, really about half that size, and it will give you everything from their docility to how likely they are to be in production as a mama cow for more than 6 years, their growth, their milk ratings. And once you get all that data, you can really sort through what you have. And you know, if there's cattle in your herd that are lacking something that you need, you can sort through and find the heifers that have their strengths to put back in your herd. So it's been a real benefit for me.
Wow, that sounds like some incredible data to have access to. We're almost out of time, but anything you want to say before we sign off?
Thanks to Virginia Farm Bureau and yourself for putting on such a great podcast and trying to bring value to our members.
Thanks so much for your time, Adam.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Although we don't promote specific brands or services on the show, Adam did note that he uses Neogen, which is the company that provides those genetic testing services. Our weather and climate outlook has some great news for us. The drought monitor shows that after weeks of heavy rains, the state is unsurprisingly drought-free. Although I will mention Loudoun, Shenandoah, Augusta, and Highland counties do remain abnormally dry. This does put all of you into a great position as we move into the summer, though, with some green pastures and hopefully some fresh-cut hay fields that are starting to regrow nicely. The NOAA Climate Prediction Center June outlook shows that there is a 40 to 50% chance of above normal temperatures for June across the state, except for far southwest, which has just a 33 to 40% chance of above normal temperatures. And there is a 33 to 40% chance of above normal precipitation in most of the state, except for the northernmost tip, which has equal chances of above or below normal precipitation. Now it's time to do the numbers. The average monthly price for those 5-weight steers, medium and large one, at Abingdon Tri-State was $380.20 a hundredweight, up 8.4% from a month ago. Blackstone was at $370.80 a hundredweight, up 4.9% from a month ago. Lynchburg was at $376.40 a hundredweight, up 4.9% from a month ago. Radiant was at $363.70 a hundredweight, up 2.3% from a month ago. Shenandoah Valley was at $364.30 a hundredweight, up 3.2% from a month ago. Winchester was at $379.80 a hundredweight, up 4.5% from a month ago. That gives us a 6-market average of $372.50 a hundredweight, which is up 4.7% from a month ago. This is 24% above our average price for May of 2024. It kind of feels like reporting on Michael Vick and my beloved 1999 Virginia Tech football team, where dominant wins were the expectation. But this is another state record at $372.50 a hundredweight for that monthly average price for our 5-weight steers, medium and large, number one. That's all the time we have together today, but thank you so much for listening to this episode of Cattle Pulse. I'm Elijah Griles, and we look forward to talking to you next month.